This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. There is an arrest in the murder of an Arkansas couple out hiking with their young daughters. Arkansas State Police Colonel Mike Hager says 28-year-old Andrew McGann was picked up while getting a haircut.
We were able to take a monster off the streets and bring relief to Clinton and Kristen's precious girls.
Police still have not revealed how the couple died or a possible motive. Their girls, ages 7 and 9, are now with relatives and were not hurt. The reason they tell you to keep your seatbelt on, even when there's no turbulence. Sometimes turbulence can suddenly appear, as in the case of a Delta flight headed from Salt Lake City to Amsterdam. Leanne Clement-Nash says those not strapped in hit the ceiling, as did the serving carts.
People were injured, and it happened several times, so it was really scary.
The plane had to land in Minneapolis, at least 25 people sent to the hospital. Russia attacking Kyiv with missiles and drones, at least 7 people killed in Ukraine, dozens more injured. This is ABC News.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you're an actor and only interested in kissing your wife on screen, well, it would help if she's an actress. And a good one. Otherwise, you might miss out on some jobs. Sex and the City and Yellowstone actor Neil McDonough refuses to kiss any woman who is not his wife, even for big bucks. He says sticking to his principles has cost him work and that show business turned on him for a while. The Suits actor says he was fired from a shoot for refusing to do an intimate scene, and after that, he felt like less of a man in terms of who he was, his livelihood, and says he lost his acting swagger. He also says he started to drink. He did, however, eventually make a comeback despite his contractual stipulations. Producer Graham Yost did Neil a solid and cast him in Justified. McDonough told the Nothing Left Unsaid podcast that his wife doesn't even have an issue with him not doing those type of scenes. It's just that he doesn't want to kiss other women. There is something so sweet and yet so strange about that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Packers back at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay at the Packers training camp, where the defense has set a goal to force more turnovers. When the Packers recover at least one fumble, they've won 30 of their last 38 games. Baseball. The Brewers head to Washington to face the Nationals tomorrow night. The Brewers got blitzed by the Cubs 10-3. Chicago All-Star Pete Crow Armstrong once dyed his hair blue at the start of spring training yesterday. He was 3-of-4 with 2 doubles, scored a pair of runs, and 1 RBI, including a hot grounder that got past second baseman Bryce Terang, Pat Murphy.
I mean, that kid, the blue-haired kid, hits the ball really hard, and it was hit really hard. I've seen Bryce make great plays. I don't know if he could make that one. He's been the best defender in the game, and now every time he doesn't make a play or everything, you know, it's like, he's human. But the blue-haired kid was, we had him down 2 strikes most of the time, and then he just, you know, did a good job of putting it in play after that.
That's the Brewers manager, Pat Murphy, with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, it's a Civic Media All-Star show as sports director Jimmy Cuska joins me to make the popcorn pick of the week. And then Matt and Aaron Ayers, Greg Bach joins the show to talk comedy and movies.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Mostly sunny today with a little more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires. Our high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, clear. We'll drop to the upper 40s to low 50s tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Unfortunately, most all of us know someone who's been touched by cancer. On our next show, we'll be at WRCE and Richland Center to talk Walk with Grace, a great benefit for those who are suffering.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's looking like we are hopefully going to get some relief from this what feels like oven we have been in recently. And it's coming just in time for the state fair as that kicks off today. I'm Ben Jarbo joining you this morning on the Midwest Farm Report. And I'm covering for Farm Director Pam Yonke while she's in the Canadian Rockies on her farm tour. But if we go back to the weather there, we'll hear more about that cool off in a little bit when ag meteorologist Stu Muck joins the show. Looking ahead on this morning show, Bryce Windecker with EverAg is going to give us some insight on the recent woes we have seen in the dairy markets, as well as some insight on what to look for in the future with the August 1st trade deadline coming up. And like I said before, the state fair kicks off today, and I had the opportunity on Tuesday to head over to the fairgrounds and see the rides, food stands, and animals coming in. And to give an update, Kylie Allen has a chat with the State Fair Director of Marketing and Communications, Tess Kirkson, to tell you everything you need to know before you go. And even though she's gone and not even in the country, Fabulous Farm Babe did not forget about us. Coming up next, Pam Yonke talks with DACAP Secretary Randy Romanski on the recently announced governor's budget, looking at it from an agency's perspective. Well, whether you're in the barn or on the way to the fairgrounds, this is a show you will not want to miss.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Join the Midwest Farm Report on Wednesday, August 6th at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. Starting at 9 a.m., visit us at the Rank C booth number 616 near the food court for a special hat exchange. Bring your hat and stop by to say hello and get a new hat. Tell them the farm team sent you.
We'll also be broadcasting at 11:30 a.m. in booth 669 on Central Avenue with Rural Mutual Insurance. Learn how the number one farm insurer is keeping Wisconsin strong with premiums paid here that stay here. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStax Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's wider spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corn traits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You know, there are very few elements that the state legislature discusses that bring both Democrats and Republicans together. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Fortunately, Wisconsin agriculture does a pretty good job building bridges between the two parties, and that's critically important when it's time for a state budget. Now that that process is in the rearview mirror, how does it feel to be in charge of one of the agencies that can't really lobby for monies, but is impacted by budgets? Randy Romanski is one of those agency leaders. He's our secretary at the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, and he says he was always confident that the state legislature would get the budget done and that they would listen to the needs of Wisconsin farmers.
Yeah, the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, like other departments, it plays an important role in the budget process. Clearly, there's a beginning, a middle, and the end. The governor starts with the budget, and he started us off with a really good budget for farm, food, and agriculture. So that's the beginning. The middle is the legislature has their review and they make changes or they add some things. And then the end is the governor signs it. You know, from the beginning to the end, what our role is at the Department of Ag Trade and Consumer Protection is we're a resource. We want to get information to everybody and anybody about the things that are in the governor's budget, about what the needs for agriculture are. And that's the role we serve in that process. We spend a lot of time downtown answering questions, providing information. You know, oftentimes the governor has been working with us to set some of those budget programs up. And whether you're talking about dairy processing, meat processing, international trade, variety of things, we're involved in providing information about those things and why they're good for agriculture in Wisconsin.
Like you said, you are a resource, not an advocate. You're kind of Switzerland. You bring information to the table and then let them go from there.
Yeah, the resource, not an advocate, is something that comes out of my mouth a lot because we're a state agency and we serve the public. I'm appointed by the governor and I clearly supported all those great things he had in the budget for agriculture. So it's easy for us to provide information. And, you know, the good news is what we saw come out of those conversations. And I'm going to say a lot of direct conversations between the governor and his office and the legislature. That's the way it should work. You know, and it did work. And we got this great bipartisan budget bill that makes a lot of investments in agriculture.
We've talked about this before, Randy, that when it comes to policy in Wisconsin, agriculture brings all camps together, it seems.
It really does. You know, if you think about issues about farm, food, forestry, you can get people in both houses, in both aisles, the governor's office, the legislature, finding agreements. And, you know, this most recent budget's a really good example of that. And a lot of it was just, and people don't see this, Pam. That's why I'm glad you and I can have this conversation, because the initial reaction is, people can't ever get anything done. Every 2 years, the state of Wisconsin passes a budget. And, you know, with very rare exceptions where it's been a little bit late, it gets done. Right. And you know, I had full faith that Governor Evers and the legislature were going to come to an agreement. And not only is it an agreement, it's an agreement where there was compromise, but it's a good budget, especially for ag, food, forestry, mm-hmm. schools, transportation,
right.
All really important things for agriculture.
Now, we'll get to some of those budget issues items in just a moment. But one of the reasons why Randy wants this message shared is you go to the Ag Secretaries Association of State Departments of Agriculture, NASDA, and you said there are states where that is not the case, where they may very well overlook a lot of needs for agriculture.
Yeah, that can be the case sometimes. You know, what we're seeing now, Pam, is that some states are feeling the pinch in that they're having to reduce the size of their agency. And I understand government efficiency. I think our agency is pretty darn efficient. And I think other states have the same thing. I have great respect for my colleagues in other states, and they are trying to be a resource for agriculture. But some of them are in really unique funding situations where they're having a hard time being a resource to their industry because they don't have the people or they don't have the programs. Or, you know, there's one state where they wanted to apply for a federal grant to do something for agriculture and they couldn't do it because they couldn't administer the grant. And, you know, that's a tough spot to be in. So when I see what Governor Evers started with and what he and the legislature agreed to at the end, I see investment here in Wisconsin. And I think it's really important to emphasize, you know, at a time when the U.S. government and other states are really kind of feeling this squeeze about reducing staff, the state, Wisconsin state budget actually invested in 3 new animal health positions. I got to tell you, Pam, we've had this conversation a lot. It's really important with all the stuff that's going on in the world from like an animal disease preparedness standpoint, we need to have those people in the Division of Animal Health to work with farmers, work with veterinarians, because we got to protect animals, and that ultimately protects people. So right. That's an investment where there were some strategic additions of that and a couple of meat inspector positions, also pretty important, that Wisconsin made, and other states are really kind of feeling that pinch. And I feel for their situation, and we can be a resource to them too. But, you know, Wisconsin's process was receptive to saying, yes, that's a smart investment in agriculture and food safety. So it's good to see that process work.
Randy Romanski in studio with us. He is, of course, our Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, talking a little bit more about some of the programs that will continue, thanks in part to the budget that's been adopted here in Wisconsin. One item you bring up, the animal health side of things, Randy, and heaven knows in Wisconsin we have been on high alert for a couple years now with high path avian influenza. First, it was only worrying about our birds, and then, oh my goodness, our dairy cows could fall victim to this as well. Tell them about the testing program. Randy and I were just talking. Every time a press release comes out, Stephanie Hoff and I hold our breath because we're wondering what the results are. It took some time to get us in step with what the national testing lab wanted, but we're there now. Tell them a little bit about that.
Yeah, thanks. And that's a good lead in, Pam. I mean, one thing I'll say, we're America's Dairyland. Everybody knows it. And we are a little different. We've got a very layered and complex dairy industry in Wisconsin. That's one of our calling cards. It's a good thing. And so when, you know, the high path of influenza transitioned or into also affecting dairy cattle, that's a big wake-up call for all of us, right? So actually, Wisconsin was one of the early adopters of testing for movements of animals interstate, intrastate for fairs and exhibits, and we got a lot of fairs and exhibits in Wisconsin. So we were doing testing of individual cows right away, and we've done over 7,000 tests for those animals for movement. Now, the next layer is the federal government came in and said, states, thou shalt test milk. And they started off with silo testing, which they thought was an easy way to do it. Well, that can get pretty complex in Wisconsin, too. We've got a very, very mature and effective industry. So we did take some time. I'm going to give a lot of credit to our team at DACAP, to the industry, to the folks with the university, in putting together a testing package that is going to get the information that USDA wants us to get without being a burden on the industry, and also without us sending people out to all 5,300 dairy farms in the state. And so we took some time. We put up a good system together. We appreciate how the industry has really leaned into this. They've focused on biosecurity. And since we've gotten into the National Milk Testing Strategy, we've done about 5,500 tests, and that's as of, you know, it's up to last week. There were a whole bunch more tests last week. Here's the most important thing out of all that, Pam, and you know this. There has not been a positive detection for HPAI, H5N1, in a dairy cow in Wisconsin to this point. And so that's where we want to be. And this testing is our way to make sure that we stay there. And, you know, the flip side of that, and this is why USDA started the testing to begin with, is if we find it someplace, we got to get in and address it. And, again, I'm going to go back to the industry and our partners at the university have been walking this path with us the whole way. And so the system is working, the process is working, and the good news is all these tests, so more than 12,000 tests total, you know, if you mix them all together, still not a positive, and that's where we want to stay.
You got a unanimous vote on that from the Farm Department, Randy, that's for sure. Randy Romanski joining us. He is the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, helping you better understand that they do not advocate. They act as a resource when it comes to putting together the state budget. And now, as he said, some of those resources have already been mobilized to make sure America's Dairyland continues to maintain the confidence of today's consumers. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is news from the Center, WRCE.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Baby bald eagles near the Great Lakes are testing positive for PFAS and other toxic chemicals. Researchers found that eagles living near the Great Lakes had six times more toxic chemicals in their bloodstreams than inland populations. Other chemicals found in the baby eagles' bloodstreams were DDT and PCBs, which were banned decades ago. A small Wisconsin school district just got some big clean energy bragging rights. The Elva Strum School District in Trempealeau County unveiled 184 ground mount solar panels that will deliver about 20% of the district's energy needs and will be a living classroom for students to learn about solar energy and energy data. The installation cost $150,000 and will pay for itself through energy bill savings in about 8 years. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org. or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show. Heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Maggie Dawn.
In a special edition, former White House ethics attorney Richard Painter joins us to break down how digital currency could undermine democracy. Don't miss this important conversation.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. News from the Center, WRCE.
Limited low pressure pulled a cool front through southeast Wisconsin, where some of the rain amounts absolutely added up. Milwaukee reporting an inch and four hundredths. A report from Palmyra and Jefferson County, an inch and a quarter. Racine, 88 hundredths of an inch. My friend John just on the east side of Eden had an inch. I had 49 hundredths on my side, 8/10 at Madison, 98 hundredths at La Crosse yesterday. Just all kinds of rainfall reports. But that front is pulled away from Wisconsin, all the way down in southern Indiana, southern Illinois. The radar indicates some scattered rain still in northern Indiana, down into the southern part of the state, and a few sprinkles in central parts of Iowa. None of that a concern. I expect today we dry it out, but there's going to be smoke. The air quality alert in effect until noon today all across the state of Wisconsin, but there will be some sunshine breaking through, and we'll expect some sunshine and more comfortable temperatures through Friday and Saturday and Sunday. We may not have to talk about a rain chance until quite likely on toward about Tuesday of next week. So it is going to dry out a bit. Hopefully that means a little more hay and grain harvest is going to get underway and get done with some drier conditions. I'll have our forecast details right after this.
Bavaria sausage is so much more than just award-winning brats. Fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke can attest to it. They've got all kinds of fantastic food, both online and in their store location, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchroner Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. Did you know that if you stop by Bavaria Sausage, you can pick up not only those award-winning brats for your grill, but also restaurant-quality cooking essentials like burgers, chicken, pork chops, and steak. They want your event to be fabulous, and they've got it all ready to go. As always, you can check out their website, BavariaSausage.com. Have goods delivered directly to you, or if you're in the area, stop on by. Corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchroner Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. And don't forget, every Friday, rain or shine, they've got their fabulous brat fry. Follow them on Facebook to know exactly what flavor they're serving up. Bavaria Sausage.
Well, Stu, you mentioned just a little over an inch in Milwaukee, and we're keeping an eye on that area right now. For State Fair, is there going to be a chance for that to dry out?
I think it ought to, Kylie. It looks to me like with some sunshine that we're all going to enjoy, a little more breeze would push the drying along, but I think with the sunshine, we'll dry it up pretty nicely right on into the weekend. In fact, that forecast includes some of that smoke and that air quality alert, but mostly sunny skies statewide today. Mid-70s in southern Wisconsin, could be only low 70s in the north. It's 44 degrees at Park Falls right now. That's a little cool. Now, overnight, we stay partly cloudy. Some of that smoke may linger. finger. We're going to drop into the low 50s, maybe upper 40s in the north. The northeast winds at 5 to 10. Sunny skies Friday, another beautiful day. Low 70s in the north, mid 70s south with the northeast breeze. It's mostly sunny skies on Saturday. And in the south, upper 70s, maybe an 80 between Saturday or Sunday in southern Wisconsin. Upper 70s in the north. Kylie, it's just a very, very mild late July, early August spell.
Well, thank you, Stu. That was Stu Muck, ag meteorologist. Hey, don't turn your radio dial. We've got more about the state fair right after this.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent segment of the Maggie Dawn Show about a proposed bill that would affect local farmers.
Folks, if you're just joining us, I'm joined this half hour by Senator Brad Pfaff of the 32nd State Senate District. He has introduced three key pieces of legislation this cycle to help support Wisconsin farmers and families. Let's talk a little bit about a few of the bills that you've introduced this year. I want to start with the most recent one because it's so incredibly important in light of what's going on federally. It is the Agricultural Purchase Program. Tell folks a little bit about it.
I did introduce legislation that, again, links consumers with our family farmers. It recognizes that this piece of legislation that was jammed through Congress last week is going to have an impact, and I would say a negative impact, on too many individuals that, through no fault of their own, are seeking food assistance at different times in their life. And so what this piece of legislation does is very simple. It provides grants to the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture. And then the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture would work with local food organizations in order to provide financial assistance. And those local food organizations then would contract directly with local farmers to receive the bring in the food that they seek. May it be meats, may it be milk, may it be cheeses, may it be maple syrup, whatever it may be. And so, again, it is trying to broaden out the supply chain as far as with agriculture, and at the same time, it's linking family farmers with consumers. And I think that is so very important. And what it's also doing is it recognizes during when there are challenges and dips in the marketplace and people are down on their luck, that we're just not throwing people to the street. We're recognizing the fact in a wealthy nation and a state like Wisconsin that grows food, we want to make sure that we can feed our neighbors.
People, because we have been rightly focused on the big, brutal bill, as well as the state's biennial budget, people forget that one of the first things that Donald Trump did was cut all kinds of aid programs willy-nilly through executive orders, and it ended up immediately hurting Wisconsin farmers because we literally had food rotting in storage houses, not getting to the people that need the food. This most recent bill is called the Agricultural Purchase Program. It's a bill to establish a $30 million fund within the Department of Agriculture, again, to make sure that families in need of emergency food assistance in the state get it and that they get that food assistance from our family farms.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. There is an arrest in the murder of an Arkansas couple out hiking with their young daughters. Arkansas State Police Colonel Mike Hager says 28-year-old Andrew McGann was picked up while getting a haircut.
We were able to take a monster off the streets and bring relief to Clinton and Kristen's precious girls.
Police still have not revealed how the couple died or a possible motive. Their girls, ages 7 and 9, are now with relatives and were not hurt. The reason they tell you to keep your seatbelt on, even when there's no turbulence. Sometimes turbulence can suddenly appear, as in the case of a Delta flight headed from Salt Lake City to Amsterdam. Leanne Clement Nash says those not strapped in hit the ceiling, as did the serving carts.
People were injured, and it happened several times, so it was really scary.
The plane had to land in Minneapolis, at least 25 people sent to the hospital. Russia attacking Kyiv with missiles and drones, at least 7 people killed in Ukraine, dozens more injured. This is ABC News.
The
Packers back at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay at the Packers training camp, where the defense has set a goal to force more turnovers. When the Packers recover at least one fumble, they've won 30 of their last 38 games. Baseball. The Brewers head to Washington to face the Nationals tomorrow night. The Brewers got blitzed by the Cubs 10-3. Chicago All-Star Pete Crow Armstrong once dyed his hair blue at the start of spring training. Yesterday, he was 3-of-4 with two doubles, scored a pair of runs, and one RBI, including a hot grounder that got past second baseman Bryce Terang. Pat Murphy.
I mean, that kid, the blue-haired kid, hits the ball really hard, and it was hit really hard. I've seen Bryce make great plays. I don't know if he could make that one. He's been the best defender in the game, and now every time he doesn't make a play or everything, you know, it's like, he's human. But the blue-haired kid was, we had him down two strikes most of the time, and then he just, you know, did a good job of putting it in play after that.
That's the Brewers manager, Pat Murphy, with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jim Santel, friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review, will be here as we continue to break down the Epstein story and all things sports with Paul Noonan.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Mostly sunny today with a little more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires. Our high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight clear, we'll drop to the upper 40s to low 50s tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Matinair on Air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Mr. Paul Vandenplas,
the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of The Todd Alba Show, where he's joined by James Small.
Happy and proud and honored to have James Small, the Rural EMS Outreach Program Manager at the UW School of Medicine and Rural Health. James, thanks for being with us. How are you?
Well, thanks for having me on today.
Let's talk a little bit about this workforce more, because you're much more, obviously much more versed in this than I am. I know a few years back, a good friend of mine, Troy Everson, which was integral in the Viroqua and Vernon County EMS and EMT system. He now does that down in Burlington, Wisconsin. And I know he helped get through a piece of legislation years ago where high school students that were taking courses to be volunteers were allowed to actually help and actually do some of the stuff as long as they were with a licensed person on the team. And that really opened up and not just created more workforce, but also almost like an apprentice type of training. Have you seen that have an effect?
Yes. You're seeing in a number of different regions around the state, the technical colleges are running what they call a dual enrollment program, where high school seniors will come in and learn a trade. And one of those programs might be fire and EMS. There's been a high demand for that. I've seen the technical college systems be very successful with that. There's also some high schools that have partnered with other training centers to offer EMT training right in the schools.
Wow.
And La Follette School of Public Policy just did an EMS-related report that came out in the last couple of weeks, and one of their key recommendations was expansion of the high school EMS programs to provide somebody access to a workforce. Because those kids that are going through those programs right now are going to find a job pretty quickly after coming out of it.
And good paying with good benefits generally.
Yes. Yep. This is going to be a job that probably has a living wage with good benefits working for a government right out of high school, potentially in some cases.
Yeah.
And then continue on with further training like paramedic training and so on. But it's I think that's one tool that we need to look at. But just access to training in general, you know, when we did our ambulance reliability study a couple of years ago, one of the things that we found is about 13% of the services had an hour or more drive to a training center. Well, that's a huge barrier. If you're depending on volunteers to come in and they're going to work their regular job all day, drive an hour to training, spend 4 hours in training, drive an hour home, and then go back to their job the next day, their real job, and then they're going to do that 50 times. And that's a lot to ask of somebody who wants to come in and volunteer. So finding other access points is going to be, or alternative ways to delivering that training is something we need to do.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
News from the center, WRCE.
LaFleur is going to have 16 practices.
Welcome back, one and all. This is the Midwest Farm Report, and I am Ben Jarbo joining you this morning. And we were talking about that cool off earlier, which may mean you may want to go fishing. And I mean, hopefully it turns out better than mine did this last weekend, where I hooked myself in the leg through the barb and ended up being a mess. But if we take a look at the fishing today, the extreme weather change, I mean, I say extreme, but it is fairly extreme. It's getting down into the 50s at night. These fish might be reluctant to bite, and they're probably still going to be a little bit deeper because they're just going to be sheltering. They aren't really sure what they're going to be doing. Some may come up towards the weeds. So it's really going to be a slow bite, maybe hitting some depth, some points out in the middle of the lakes. I would use maybe some Ned rigs. So, I mean, the trusty wacky rig is what I always use. Maybe try a jig, throwing that out with a nice craw trailer. And, I mean, it's not necessarily just going to be a slow bite. You try to get some reaction bites as well. You can throw some of those crankbaits and try to swim it right past and get them to react to it, really. I mean, sometimes that's what they need. They aren't going to be swimming a ton, but if it goes right by them and they react bite, that could be the ticket for the fishing for today. And if you like hearing these fishing reports and want to hear more about fishing, make sure to tune in to my show on the farm app there this Saturday at 9 a.m., where I will be doing a more in-depth look at the fishing here in the state of Wisconsin. As we move forward to other things today, like I was mentioning earlier, we are talking about the state fair that kicks off this morning. We have Kylie Allen here this morning joining us with Tess Kirkson to let you know what you need to do and where to find things at the fairgrounds before you go. Take it away, Kylie.
There are a few things you need to know before you make your trip to the state fairgrounds. Tess Kirkson is the director of marketing and communications with the Wisconsin State Fair. She has all the details that we need on admission and parking.
Yes, there's so many things to know before you go. You know, the fair park is so expansive, but we make it really easy for you on our website. Some things to know is about parking. Parking is $15. We are cashless at our parking and admission entrances, so remember that fact. But also remember that you can get that stuff online in advance so that you can get it taken care of and come in a lot faster. Of course, we have multiple gates around the fair park. Gate 1 is our biggest, where you park on the Milwaukee Mile. But if you're coming in early for those ag shows, gate 5 is going to be your gate, and that opens as early as 6 a.m., which is just a great spot because you come in right by the barns and can go straight there.
And you mentioned that you are cashless at entrances and parking now, but we can get that ahead of time online. Where can we go online to find that information?
Yes, you're going to want to head to wistatefair.com. That's not only going to have your tickets, you can also pre-order cream puffs and all the fun things, Spin City tickets if you make your way over there, so many different varieties, and a bargain book, of course. That's a great one, too, if you're spending a lot of days here at State Fair. And there's so many tips and tricks too. Of course, the Wisconsin Products Pavilion is one of my favorite places to go. Of course, you're seeing all Wisconsin products in there, which is so important, and really the whole mission of the Wisconsin State Fair outside of our agriculture mission. So there's so many fun things to do in that sense. And of course, your wistatefair.com is also going to have that new foods list too, which just hit. So we're so excited to see that.
And if I have a bag of things I want to bring into the fair, does that that bag have to meet any requirements to come through the gates?
Yes, absolutely. It has to be 9 by 11 by 12, I believe. WIStateFair.com to get those exact measurements. Each gate, too, will have some signage about that, but you want to be, you know, prepared in advance. Now, if you're a parent with snacks or someone accompanying a child or anything for your medical needs, don't even worry. That's going to be just fine to come through the gates. But just make sure you're doing those checks online beforehand to make sure you've got everything sorted out before you get to those gates.
Now, our livestock exhibitors coming in with feed and supplies, if it maybe doesn't make it in on the first round with tack, how do we bring those items into the fairgrounds?
Yes, so you definitely want to reach out to those people, typically at gate 5. Let them know when you're going to park your trailer at that offsite lot that you're going to come back with some more stuff. We're really accommodating towards that because we want to make sure that your animals are fully taken care of as well as you. We know how hot it can get in those barns. And so, yes, we're definitely accommodating towards that. And of course, then too, we have the TGT, which is our Tommy G. Thompson Youth Center, where so many of our exhibitors are staying in those dorms too. So many things coming in and out, but we really have it down to a science here.
Now, is there anything else that people coming to the fair need to know before they come?
Yes, you definitely need to check out, of course, the new dairy building. We've been talking a lot about it, but take a look at the schedule for the day, especially if you're coming to see a certain exhibitor, and make sure you know the show time. Make sure you know that gate opens at 6 a.m. and which gates open later at around 8 or 9 a.m. because the fair park really doesn't get rolling until about 10 a.m. So you're going to find a lot of vendors that are much closer to the ag buildings and the ag barns, like Big Sky Country, that they serve breakfast. The Wisconsin Product Pavilion opens early to serve breakfast. So those locations are always so key when it comes to those early ag shows.
And what time do our gates open?
Yes, those are going to open really at 10 a.m. with the exception of gate 5 and that the entrance that accompanies that one. That one's off of 84th and Schlinger. A lot of people, it has the Big Ag Village sign. But the rest are going to open a little bit later and parking at 9, and then the whole fair park will be roaring by 10 a.m.
Now, information, maps, schedules, can we find those anywhere on grounds, or are we just looking for those online?
Of course, we have to offer both options because not everyone, you know, wants to go online and get all that information there. So our guest service pavilion, which is located at Central Park right across from the Exposition Center, is fully stocked with all of those things, but you'll also find info booths at nearly every entrance that we have, as well as Central Mall and on Grandstand Avenue. And those are also staffed with lovely, lovely staff to help you find whatever you need to find here. We put together an extensive list that's fully searchable, and they know every answer around here. And if they don't, they'll find it for you for sure.
What's your one-liner? Why should people come out to the fair?
Oh, my. I've come up with this new one-liner. It kind of changes every year. I've worked here for about 5 years. It's the fact that I can see a cow, a corn dog, a shopping gadget, a family, drinks, the sky glider, all the attractions, and I can see that all in a 20-second span. You can look around and you see such an incredible group of people so excited to be here, and there's just so much to offer.
That's what you need to know before heading to the best 11 days of summer. Tess Kirkson, the Director of Marketing and Communications with the Wisconsin State Fair. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
Well, it sounds like there's going to be a lot to do from the early morning hours to late at night at the State Fair. Thank you for that update there, Kylie. And if we stick with the State Fair theme, the Sporkies were held on Tuesday and a winner was announced. We'll take a deeper look into this tasty treat in just a minute.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers. Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy. From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for this year's Farm Technology Days, Generations of Progress. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There's also a rotary parlor, seminars, and, of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology.
With the RNAi technology of SmartStax Pro, the all-in core and rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's widest spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corn traits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The number one fair food for this year is the Ube Butter Banana French Toast Lumpia from Lumpia City. Let's take a listen in to Alexa, the owner of Lumpia City, on what exactly this treat is.
So traditionally, we in Filipino culture, we make banana lumpia. So we kind of added a little bit more of a flair to this one. So we rolled banana and brown sugar. We soaked some French toast strips with syrup, and then we added a little bit of ube butter, and it's all rolled up, deep fried, and the brown sugar gives it a nice like crunch to the wrapper.
And that sounds like a delicious treat to enjoy while enjoying the best 11 days of the year. And now let's take a look at something that will sometimes bring us joy and sometimes not: the markets. It looks like grain's trying to push higher this morning, with cash corn up a penny at 3.92¾ and new crop corn up 0.75¢ at 4.13. Cash soybeans are up a half a penny at 9.68¼, with new crop soybeans up 1¾ at 9.97½. September wheat contracts are down a quarter of a penny at 5.23½. Class 3 milk is a bit of a mix, with August contracts remaining even at 17.07 a hundredweight, and September contracts down 6 cents at 17.27 a hundredweight. Looking at cheese, 40-pound blocks closed up a half a penny yesterday at 1.67¼, and butter closed down 3 cents at 2.47¼. With those out of the way, make sure you don't go anywhere. Coming up next, we talk with Bryce Windecker from EverAg.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The federal Eighth Circuit Court appears intent to block redistricting and voting rights cases by individuals and advocacy groups. July 29th, the Eighth Circuit issued another finding that individuals and groups can't sue using the Voting Rights Act. This is the third such negative ruling on the private right of action, but for the moment, it still only applies to the seven states in the Eighth Circuit: Arkansas, Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota. In a 2023 Arkansas case, an Eighth Circuit panel ignored decades of settled law and found that the Arkansas Conference of the NAACP and the voters it represented did not have standing to bring a complaint under the VRA Section 2. Instead, it gave the U.S. Justice Department the sole authority to bring Voting Rights Act complaints. Legal scholars deemed it a fringe ruling because, historically, 90% of voting rights cases are brought by individuals and advocacy groups. The July 29th decision involved a challenge by an Arkansas group which assists new citizens with voting. An Arkansas voter suppression law barred the group from helping more than six citizens, though the Voting Rights Act, Section 208, allows such assistance. If appealed, it's unclear whether the U.S. Supreme Court will stand on precedent or back the Eighth Circuit's crusade against voting rights. We've linked to the decision at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's a Civic Media All-Star Show as sports director Jimmy Cuska joins me to make the popcorn pick of the week. And then Matt and Aaron Ayers, Greg Bach joins the show to talk comedy and movies.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. News from the Center, WRCE.
Getting the most out of your dairy cows is always top priority for the producers. And as many know, a large part of that is what is given to them for food. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and Dr. Luis Ferrarto, an extension specialist in dairy nutrition, says that a lot of factors go into having the right feed for the cows. He is here to give a look into what this right feed might look like with a combination of cover crops and corn silage.
Yeah, absolutely. The early lactation cows will always be the most important cows at the dairy, because if anything goes wrong during that period, everything goes wrong throughout the lactation, right? So from that perspective, we want diets that help the cow to establish herself through lactation. So a diet that includes a high proportion of forages, but more important than that, high quality forages is what we are looking for.
And when you're looking at forages, why would you prefer that over, say, maybe just the corn silage?
Well, in my mind, corn silage is also a forage. I understand that there is a lot of corn there, but I think we need the mixture, right? Because corn silage brings some of the plant fiber, but also brings a lot of starch, right? And we have to remember that the cow coming from the dry-off period, she's probably not consuming a lot of starch, so you cannot just put a lot of corn grain into her diet, because it needs to have an adaptation so the rumen will function well and the cow will not have issues with metabolic disorders. That's why we need a balanced diet for the cow, including different forages, different fibers, and hopefully different byproducts as well to help balance that.
And if we just look at corn silage in general for dairy cows, what are you looking for that silage to, for your cows to get the most out of it? Because obviously you don't want something that's going to have no nutrients, but you all probably don't want something that has way too much in it. So what's that perfect medium there that you're looking for?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that for corn silage, we want a balanced plant that has a good amount of corn grain and starch, but also good fiber digestibility, right? I think that if you get good fiber digestibility, it helps cows to consume more and produce more milk, but also making sure that corn grain is not only a good quantity, but also well-processed and available. Otherwise, if you don't process the corn, very likely you'll be feeding birds, because it all goes through the manure. So,
and this year, when you're out there looking at that corn for corn silage, what are you seeing? Is it looking like there's going to be a lot of that good corn in there, or is there some places that you've seen it's going to fall a little bit too much one way?
Yeah, I didn't travel much this year, but what I'm seeing, at least around Madison, it's a very good crop, and the weather pattern this year looks amazing.
Dr. Ferrarto also says that some new research in rye that is up and coming shows that it could be the next big cover crop for feed. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo. Well, it looks like Bryce will not be joining us this morning, but thankfully we have our new hire, Kylie Allen, in here today. Kylie, why don't you tell our audience a little bit about yourself here?
Yeah. So hi, everyone. My name's Kylie. I haven't really had the opportunity to formally introduce myself. I was fortunate enough to grow up on a small fair to finish and cow calf operation 6 hours away from Madison in northwest Iowa, a little place called Lamar's. Just about our only claim to fame that is my favorite fun fact of the town is that we are the ice cream capital of the world. So when I moved to Wisconsin, I knew that I loved all things dairy, and you guys have not disappointed me. You've had the absolute best cheese I've ever had in my life.
And if we talk about what are some of those accomplishments that you had through your agriculture career in Iowa and maybe with the pigs?
Yeah, I don't know about accomplishments so much. I was very blessed to have the upbringing I did. Participated in a lot of activities, as many people in a rural community do. 4-H and FFA were staples for me. I always enjoyed leadership positions and any chance that I could to talk with people about our industry. So it seems kind of fitting that I ended up here.
And so far, you've been here for about 2 months now. Give us an update. What's been your favorite part? What are some of the cool events that you've been able to go and attend?
Yeah, so my favorite parts, Ben, have absolutely been getting out and talking to the people. I'm 100% a people person, and some of my favorite stories that I've gotten to do are our Century Farm interviews, and I've gotten to talk to those people who have such a rich history with their operation.
Yeah, and she was mentioning Century Farm there just as a quick reminder. The Century Farm page is now live, and farm stories are going to be coming out now over the next few months. So if you were part of this or want to hear more about these farms, make sure to tune in. Kylie, where'd you go to school? What'd you major in? What are some of those things?
Yeah, I went to school at Iowa State University. I majored in ag communications with a minor in animal science. So tying in my love for all things storytelling, as well as telling people and learning about livestock as a whole.
Yeah, for sure. Well, as we close out today, thank you for coming in, Kylie. And like I said before, reminder that the Century Farm page is live. Make sure you go check it out. There's a lot of cool stories, a lot of interesting things with these farms that you may not necessarily expect. I will be joining you again tomorrow morning in the big chair while Pam is still up there in Canada visiting our friends in the north, checking out some cool things on a train ride for the through the Canadian Rockies there. And if you would like to stay up to date on all agriculture news, make sure to sign up for our e-newsletter on the MidwestFarmReport.com. And thank you again for joining us this Thursday morning. Signing off, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is news from the Setter, WRCE.
Seat just this one time, please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet. Now get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Recognizing the long-term dedication of America's farmers, today on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health Campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community. And while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. Many states operate Century Farm programs to spotlight farms that have been owned and run by the same family for more than 100 years. Louisiana is one of them, and Lily Adams Wiley heads the program there.
The past 100 years, there has been many ups and downs for our families and our farming communities. And being able to keep the land in production for the last 100 years is quite a triumph.
Two farms were added this month in Louisiana, including Brian Fontenot's.
How do you succeed in farming? This is number one. You find a good spouse that's willing to work and follow you and encourage you. And that's a big help.
Louisiana's other latest Century Farm was the Eden's Place Farm. Family member Connie Boggs Roundtree.
And we've been proud to be able to have had the use of this land through six generations, and we hope to pass it on to our children and grandchildren.
Louisiana has honored 87 Century Farms since 2014. Again, Program Director Lily Adams Wiley.
It is refreshing and rewarding to be able to interact with our Louisiana farm families, learn more about their past, their present operations, as well as what they foresee in the future for their family farms.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Unfortunately, most all of us know someone who's been touched by cancer. On our next show, we'll be at WRCE and Richland Center to talk Walk with Grace, a great benefit for those who are suffering.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Experience Northern Wisconsin this season and book your vacation at Lena's Northern Pines Resort on beautiful Butternut Lake in Butternut, Wisconsin. This quaint resort has it all. A full-service resort and restaurant, open year-round for all your seasons, from ATVing to snowmobiling, grouse hunting, deer hunting, and even ice fishing. Or just come to relax with the whole family. And there's also an event space for that perfect occasion that you might be celebrating. Butternut Lake is a 1,000-plus acre Class A musky lake, along with walleye, crappie, perch, and panfish that the kids love to catch. It's perfect for escaping the hustle and bustle of the city. Check your next adventure out today. Go to northernpines.net, www.northernpines.net.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
Hey, news, I'm Sherry Preston. Arkansas police have charged a 28-year-old school teacher in the killing of a married couple who were hiking with their two daughters at a state park. Investigators caught up with Andrew James McGann at a barber shop in a city near the park. They still haven't revealed how the couple died or a possible motive in the killings. A New York City police officer who was among four people fatally shot in a Midtown Manhattan office building this week is being laid to rest today. Officer Didarul Islam was the gunman's first victim in the lobby of that Park Avenue building. Democrats and Republicans not giving up on having all the information in the Epstein files be made public.
I do know many Republicans who have been talking about this and looking for transparency for the American people. I'm going to work with those people to continue to try to provide that and believe the administration is as well.
Alabama GOP Senator Katie Britt, Canada, the latest country to announce it will recognize Palestinian statehood if a ceasefire in Gaza isn't announced soon. This is ABC News.
We bring the